If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 27:27. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the peritrum and gathered the whole company of the soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and they set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt down in front of him and they mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him, they took the staff, and they struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they knelt. They kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And then skipping down to verse 50, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." And then in verse 57 said, "As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And Joseph took the body wrapped in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away." I remember the very first time I was about 10 years old and my mother took us to a Good Friday service. And I remember the preacher preaching this part of the scripture here. And I remember saying to myself, "Good Friday, what is good about Good Friday? All I hear is pain and suffering." And that day, my Easter was ruined. Because I thought Easter was all about Easter bunnies and candy and angels and the stone being rolled away. But on that Good Friday, all the preacher had to say was negative things. Talked about Christ suffering, him being whipped, his hands and nails nailed to the cross, his beard being pulled out, slapping on his face, a crown of thorns, beating with his fist, the rejection of his own disciples. And then finally being nailed on that cross and dying on that cross and then put in that tomb and that tomb sealed. I can just imagine what the disciples thought. They thought, we have followed this man for 3.5 years. We thought he was the Son of God. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought that he would rule and reign as king. But here, this king now wears a crown of thorns. And I can just imagine they were thinking, what have we done? We have left family and friends, and we've given up everything for this man called Jesus, and there's nothing good happening. He's finally nailed to the cross, and now he's placed in the tomb. He is dead. Tonight, my sermon is, why do we call it Good Friday? Because when you read this scripture, it seems like there's nothing good about this Friday. How can we celebrate? The world says, how can you celebrate Good Friday? Nothing but pain and torture and suffering. But when I look at Good Friday, I see three things about Jesus that I would like to share with you today. The first thing I see is that his humility, how he humbled himself. It says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the most powerful person in this world and in this universe, was nailed to that cross. Why? Because he obeyed the Father. He knew what the Father wanted. The Father wanted him to die on that cross and shed his blood that we may have life, that we may have hope. He humbled himself in such a great way to show us that if we are going to accomplish anything for Jesus Christ, we too must humble ourselves. There's been many a problem with a preacher that sometimes thinks that his church is so full because of him. Pride comes in, and then you find out years later that through that pride, he got puffed up and now he's far from God. We must never be like that. We must always be like Jesus, that no matter what he calls us to do, we must humble ourselves and say, Lord, not your will, or not my will, but your will be done. And that's what Jesus did that day. He humbled himself to die on that lonely cross. The man who created the whole universe, who could at any time come down off that cross. He could have wiped out those priests. He could have killed every Roman soldier. He could have took over this world. He could have done it by force if he wanted to. But no, that wasn't God's way to do things. He humbled himself. And he died for you and for me. The next thing I see in Good Friday, I see how Jesus, he obeyed the voice of God. It says in Philippians 2, it says, being found in the appearance of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. God is asking for me and you to be obedient. Whatever God calls us to do, we must be willing to go the extra mile to do whatever God's asked us to do. To start a ministry, to become a pastor if that's his will, to go into the mission field, whatever God has asked you and me to do, we must be obedient. And here as we see that Good Friday, we see Jesus Christ being obedient. When Jesus was at the Mount of Olives, he prayed 3 times, Lord, if there's another way, if there's another way that we don't have to go to the cross, Lord, reveal it to me. But what did Jesus say time and time again? Not my will, but your will, Father. And because of his obedience, Jesus Christ, he knew there was going to be pain. He knew there was going to be suffering. He knew there was going to be bloodshed. But he did it because he loved you and me so much that he obeyed God. Now, I don't understand God a lot of times, why he does what he does, but I know he's always right. And he does things sometimes I'll never figure out on this earth. But as long as we put our trust and hope in Him and obey His voice, obey His calling, no matter what we go through, we will always come out victorious. We will never be defeated. Jesus Christ, the obedient one. And when Satan had thrown everything at him, believe me, that day Satan did everything he could possible to stop this. But Jesus Christ was victorious. And aren't you glad because of that? I know I'm glad because of that, because I had no hope, I had no future, I had no way out. But God had a plan. And remember, God only has plan A. He doesn't have plan B and C and D. He also only has plan A because that's the only plan He has, because His plan never fails. So whatever He has called you to do, go with plan A. Don't ever think about plan B. Go with plan A, because that plan is God's plan. And if you do that, you can have victory. You can have victory. And when we look at Good Friday, we don't think there's any victory there, but there's victory there. Believe me, Satan was shaking in his boots. If he wears boots, I don't know if he wears boots or not. But believe me, he was shaking. And he tried and he tried and he tried, and he figured, well, Jesus, surely He will come off that cross. Surely He'll wipe out the human race. Surely if I torture Him enough, He will give up. But Jesus Christ never gave up. And the reason He never gave up is because of the love He has for you and for me. The third thing I see about Jesus is the love. It wasn't the nails that held Him to that cross. It was the love that He had. It says in Romans, very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His love for us in this way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you are yet sinners, Christ died for you, for me. It says in His word in John, it says, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross that day, He didn't just die for His friends. He died for those Roman soldiers. He died for Pilate. He died for those priests. He died for the whole human race. That's why John the Baptist said 3.5 years before this, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And praise God, what a Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. We have the victory today. And you may be going through a tough time right now in your life. You may have lost a loved one. You may be going through money trouble. You may have trouble in your marriage. Whatever the problem is, the voice of the Lord would say to you, don't give up. Don't you dare quit. Jesus didn't quit on you. Don't you quit on Him. And as you begin to put your trust and hope in Him, you will come out victorious. Just like this Good Friday. And when you look at it on the outside, you say, how could we have victory in all this? It looks like it's all lost. But remember, Sundays are coming. Sundays are coming. Believe me, and it's coming faster than you think. So no matter what your problem may be tonight, you may be discouraged. You may just drug yourself in here just to hear one more sermon. Don't give up. You put your hand in the hand of the man who stills the waters, who raised the dead, who can heal all diseases. That's who we put our trust in. So what's good about Good Friday? Everything. Everything that Jesus did was for a purpose. It says in Isaiah, it says this, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The stripes, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus fulfilled every scripture that he had to fulfill on that great and dark day called Good Friday. And I'm so glad he did. And because Jesus has the victory, we too can have the victory. Because who can we run to? Who do we put our trust in? Nobody but the Lord. No demon could stop him. Satan couldn't stop him. No power on this earth could stop him from his mission. Because Jesus Christ came from one purpose. He came to die, to shed his blood for you and for me. And praise God. We can celebrate on Good Friday because we know the end of the story. It says in Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. So don't be like I was when I was 10 years old at a Good Friday service. I went home depressed. I went home sad. I'm thinking, man, I don't even care about the Easter basket. I don't care about the Easter bunny. All the pain, all the suffering, you know. That preacher ruined my Easter. But praise God, as I got older, I realized that it was all for a purpose and all for a reason. Because when you're young, you think, well, Jesus didn't have any choice. He let those men grab him and crucify him. Oh, no. Jesus had a choice. He had a great choice. But he chose you and me over suffering. He said, I will suffer for you. I will die for you. I will shed my blood for you, that you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly. So what's good about Good Friday? Sunday's coming. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Sunday's a coming.